till we all come, verse 13, Ephesians chapter 4, in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. These verses carry so much truth, it would be an impossibility to expound upon them in a lifetime when we consider what is laid out in our life and what God's expectations are for you and I as the children of God. But we have been looking at these verses and dealing with the subject of measuring your maturity. Measuring your maturity. What does it mean to grow in grace and in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ? What does it mean to have the ability to evaluate where you are at and where your standing is with the Lord right now? I'm talking about this very morning as we sit together. There are various status represented here socially. There are various avenues of vocation that are represented here among this congregation. Many people have many different tastes and desires. But yet in the structure of this church this morning, there are various levels of spiritual maturity. And God has one desire for each individual in this building today. And I want to look at that here in just a moment. But God desires that we would take examination of our standing and our walk with God and be able, amen, to evaluate where we're at and what we're going to do about where we're at as we serve the Lord. May I say this at the outset? For something to grow, it must have life. Amen. You cannot expect any fruit, nor can you expect anything to grow that does not have life. You cannot feed and nourish and create growth from anything that is dead. It's senseless. It's a waste of time. And you can preach and you can try to develop programs and manipulate situations to try to bring people along. But there's only one thing, amen, that is key and of most importance for spiritual growth, and that is the existence of spiritual life. Amen. To try to preach the word of God to a carnal man and try to get him to walk down the path of pure religion that is undefiled before God. To try to get a man that has never experienced the new birth in salvation to walk in the principles consistently and the truths of this word of God is a waste of your time and a waste of my time. It would be as senseless as trying to water and fertilize the pews that you're sitting on this morning. It's not going to generate life. There's nothing. They're not going to get bigger. They're not going to grow. They're not going to sprout. It takes life, and that's the only way you're going to grow. And I would ask myself the question this morning. I believe it would be in order today to say this. Do I see spiritual growth in my life? Is there any evidence of spiritual life manifested in me that is being nurtured, that is being fed, and that is growing? Where are you at? Amen. Brother Herb just testified about where he has been and the shape he got in and the desire he has, amen, to climb back to that area of maturity and that level of walking with God. That can happen to any one of us in the building. Amen. It has happened to us, a coldness, an indifference. Often, sometimes our heart gets callous. We lose the burden for sinners. We get so caught up in life and the demand of life that the Word of God doesn't have a place in our heart and life. But I remember, amen, seeing folks say, and reading the Word of God and having a prayer life and a consistent walk with God. But now what's happened to you? Amen. You've been saved supposedly for a number of years, but the Word of God has no place in your life. The diet of it is taught in a Sunday school class or preached from a pulpit, but you never get along with God and ask God to feed that spiritual aspect of your life from His Word. You don't pray. You don't have a time of communion with God, yet you expect God's blessings. You expect for God to reward you and to guide you and to lead you and to give you His best just because you're saved, but you have not been diligent to be responsible to the faith that God has given you in this great grace. You don't add to your faith. You do not build upon that foundation that was laid in Christ when He died on the cross and shed His blood for the sins of the world. This morning, if you're not saved, if you don't know the Lord Jesus, I'm telling you today, the provision has been made. The payment has been made today. And salvation is free and full. But I'm telling you what, faith and growth requires nourishment and feeding and work, amen, in an attentiveness to your walk with God. I'll ask you again, do you see spiritual growth in your life? Is there any evidence of life, spiritual life, manifested in you? Now, you can throw that behind you if you want to, that question. You can get that out of your mind right now and say, I don't want to think about that because I got other things on my mind. And you can walk out of this building and one day walk out for the last time and wake up in hell if you've never been saved. And I'm telling you, it's a very serious matter. It's a very serious matter. It's a very serious thing. Amen. When you try and constantly try to have an interest. I want to tell you what, before I got saved, I didn't really have an interest in the Bible. I'd heard it all my life, heard it preached all my life. I had no interest in praying. I had no desire to pray. I didn't pray. Well, I'd go to church and pray. I'd even go to the prayer room and pray with the men, but I didn't have any interest in praying. I'm talking about as an individual, as a person. I didn't have an interest in having a prayer life. Did you? Do you? But I'm going to tell you what, when I got right with God, it's awful quiet in here. When I got right with God, listen to me now, when I got right with God, there was something within my soul, Brother Danny, that began to desire a close walk with Him, a communion with Him, a time of fellowship with Him. I desired, and I'm ahead of myself, but I desired to have a relationship with the Lord. I didn't have that prior to salvation. Now, I had been around church. My dad was a Baptist deacon. I'd been in a Baptist church where the Word of God was preached. I'd been exposed to old time religion. I'd heard people testify, but I didn't have a desire to testify. I'd heard people shout, but it didn't bother me. I didn't want to shout. I'd heard people, amen, wrap their life up, amen, or seen them wrap their life up in the things of God and the Word of God. Didn't bother me, but I wasn't interested in doing that with my life. And the reason why I was not is because it was just that. It was my life. And it had no spiritual life. It had no life that was produced from the seed of the Word of God. It had no life that was spiritual at all. Amen. I say again, it is the will of God for each one of us to grow in grace. Peter said, but grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To Him be glory both now and forever. Amen. Some of you could stand up, and if you could be honest with yourself and could be honest with us before God, you could say, preacher, I know that I'm saved. There's a time in my life when God birthed me into the family of God, and there was days where I feasted on the Word of God. I took the milk of the principles of God's Word, and I nourished myself and then began to get strong meat. I used to listen to preaching. I was involved in the church. I was involved in the work of God. I had a desire to do something for the Lord. That was my life. That was my desire. That was the intent of my heart. But things have happened and times have changed and things have just died down. And you know, the world is at an all-time high. The world is just gripping and pulling at me. And there's just other things that have precedence in my life. I say to you again that the low level of maturity is overwhelming when we consider what has been placed in our path. Spiritual maturity in the things of God that once were dear. I thought about some folk back years and years ago. They They were uneducated in a lot of ways, and they may not have known a lot of things as we know it today. But those old men, Brother Joe, they desired to fellowship with God. They desired to walk with the Lord. They hungered for the things of God. Oh, they may not have known all the deep truths of the Word of God, and they may not have been as doctrinally oriented as we are today with this educated society that we live in. But they loved God, and they desired to walk with Him. As we have considered the measuring maturity, are you willing to do that this morning for the next service or two? Are you willing to really be honest with who you are and what you are and measure your maturity? Take a look at where you are at with the Lord and deal with it. Do something about it. We talked about the promotion of this maturity. In verse 11, He gave some apostles, prophets, evangelists, and pastors and teachers. And we said that God puts men in your life to promote maturity. Now, we don't believe in an apostolic age. That's unbiblical. There are no modern-day apostles, no matter what one may say, because there is a criteria laid out in the Word of God for an apostle to be just that, an apostle. But the apostles, amen, are a part of promoting our maturity. Amen. These men are a part of our life. Are they not? The apostles, amen, are the foundation that has been laid for us so that we can grow in the grace and the knowledge of the Lord, the Word of God, amen. The things that God revealed unto these men that were eyewitnesses of His resurrection, that were there with Him and ministered with Him, these men are the foundation of our faith that we are to grow in. Then we talked about the evangelists, how that these men focused their attention on salvation. They are to reach out to the lost. Revelation, the prophets, we preached this in brief on Wednesday night. The pastor, the teacher, these are men that God, either physically or through the Word of God, has placed in your life to promote maturity. How important is the man of God in your life? I thought about it coming down the road today. Maybe, Lord willing, nothing doesn't happen, I'll be able to spend some time with my pastor next week. And during that time, we may most likely get to preach together. And I thought coming down the road, I don't reckon that I can ever remember a time that I disagreed with him about anything. I tried to think of something. Now, I've had preacher boys stand there. It don't bother me. It don't offend me anything in any way, shape, or form. But I've had preacher boys in this church, and say, I want to thank God for my pastor. I don't agree with everything he may do or everything he may say, but amen. He don't know that, but he's still my pastor. Now, I don't have a problem with that. You don't agree with everything maybe I do or say. That's your business. But I agreed with everything my pastor said, as far as I know. I can't think of anything. I'm honest. He preached the Word of God, and I figured that. You say, well, preach what about his person? I ain't talking about his personality. Amen. He might like, amen, hot sauce on something, and I may not like it. We're not talking about that kind of foolishness. We're talking about truth. We're talking about the things of God. I'm telling you, he had a desire to see the will of God perfected in the church and in the lives of people, and he preached the truth of God's Word. And I believe that God was God enough to put men in my life for the divine purpose to promote godliness and growth in my life. You need a man of God. You need somebody, amen, that will tell you the truth and that will labor in your behalf. God puts men in your life, amen, to promote this process of maturity. Verse 11. Then we talked about milk. God puts milk in your life as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the Word. He puts meat in your life. We preached that. Then we went to verse 12, and I didn't really get to verse 13, and we skipped down to verse 14. So I want to backtrack, if you'll let me, amen, little cold-nosed dog for just a little bit, and backtrack a little bit, if I can, and bark on trail and try to grab verse 13, if you'll let me, amen. The purpose of maturity is seen in verse 12 and 13. For the perfecting of the saints. That's the purpose of this maturing process, is for you to advance, for you to grow stronger, for you to be established in the faith. That is the maturing purpose. God has a purpose in this maturing process, and that is just simply that, for you to mature. Are you maturing? Where are you at spiritually right now? We use Brother Steve as an illustration. Just didn't use him as an illustration, but brought, just mentioned, just asked him what kind of bow. You know, he'd been a bow hunting for 30 years, and he just said junk. He didn't give him much of a description of what he bow hunted with 30 years ago, but I promise you, he hadn't taken it in the woods this year. He didn't take it in the woods last year. Fact of the business is, I would say less than 3 or 4 years ago, he probably didn't take in the woods 4 years ago what he took in the woods this year. Got something that shoots a little faster. Something that shoots a little smoother. And we would all look silly, amen, if we tried to live in the past in any other aspect of our life with technology advanced. I mean, if everybody come to church this morning, amen, in an automobile, and you come to church in a horse and buggy, people say, that's weird right there. That's weird. And I know people do that, and I understand all that. I'm not going there. I'm just telling you, things progress, things advance, and things grow, and God expects our level of maturity and our walk with God to grow. Amen. So there is a maturing process. God wants you to grow up. God desires that we mature. Then there's a ministry purpose in verse 12. He says, for the work of the ministry. Do you realize that if we don't grow, that we cannot as a body fulfill the intent that God has for us tomorrow? If we stay where we're at spiritually and refuse to let the Word of God work in our life and create growth and a process of faith, amen, expanding in our walk with God, it is going to be impossible for us to do what God has a desire for us to do if we are not willing to persevere and be faithful and serve God fervently. Amen. Are you listening? You are not going to, are you listening to me? Are you listening? These children are not going to step out of this building and go work on a diesel motor tomorrow. Amen. Where Joel's not going to go out and run a crane on a job. Are you listening? There is everybody with me this morning? There is a maturing process. And if you're going to accomplish certain things, there's things you got to know. There's things you have to physically develop. There is strength that you need and a thought process that must be in place. You have got to grow. You have got to mature, and spiritually speaking, if we are not willing to allow God to work in our life and apply ourselves to the Scripture, discipline our ears to hear the Word of God, and walk in the truths that are preached and the principles that are given unto us, then we are going to be at a standstill in the will of God. I don't know about you, but I want to serve the Lord. You know, and people have a problem with that. Growth. Spiritually speaking, people think in this day they have a mentality that growth is, some think it's compromise. Some think it's leaving the old paths. I mean, we do things different than we did 20 years ago in this church. We preach the same Bible, we sing the same songs, and we testify and shout and worship the same way, but we do things different. We got microphones everywhere. I started out just preaching from a little old SM58 that sat on the platform. I'd open up the door here. I'd mash a few buttons and close the door and start preaching. I'd stand up here with a guitar. I'd mash the tape player. Me and my wife and Miss Sarah, I'd play the guitar and we'd sing. My wife would play the piano. Amen. And it spoke in tongues every now and again. And it was about 2 or 3 octaves too low. You normally play, I guess we sing Amazing Grace probably in G, F or G. And when you played it on that piano, you didn't play it in F or G. You'd be singing Amen down in the basement of the house. It was about 3 or 4 octaves low. So you had to play Amazing Grace in C. We do things different. But we have a ministry that's different. We didn't have a prison ministry, a youth attention ministry, a radio ministry. We did not have a school. We didn't go to the Bluegrass Challenge program. We wasn't supporting missions around the world. There was a lot going on, and there is a process of growth and maturity and spiritual, amen, advancement that creates that ministry. There's a member purpose. I didn't preach this one time. Lord, help me. There's a member purpose here in verse 12. For the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. Amen. The growth process means to build up, to encourage, and to create desire. Amen. Brother Herb, and I'm not trying to pick on him this morning. He's the one who stood up and confessed. I'm just telling you, amen, we as individuals can walk with the power of God and it encourage others, amen, to draw near to the Lord. I tell you what you want. I tell you what I can do. I guarantee you I can call Tullahoma, Tennessee, and if they were willing to, I guarantee you I could bring Loretta rolling up here. If I could get her up here before service tonight and stand her up there with an accordion and her stretch that thing. She's just a little bitty lady, and she stretches that thing. Amen. Looks like she's fixing to wrap it around the Empire State Building and opens her mouth up and starts singing, and the presence of God, amen, begins to move in her heart and in her soul. And she sings as unto the Lord and rejoices. I'm going to tell you what, there's never been a time she sung that I'll guarantee you it didn't encourage you to want to walk with God and find out just exactly what is going on in her life. Amen. I mean, you hear her sing, say, man, I wish I had the power of God in my soul like that. Would to God today we'd have some adults, Brother Craig, that would live so close to God, that would walk with God, that stand up and testify with the power of God on them, that would give, that would be solid in the Word of God, that these young men and these young ladies would never even bring in their mind the question of what the world has to offer them, because they want the things of God. They desire to walk with God. They say, I want to be that. I want what they have. I desire the blessings that they have. Amen. I'm telling you now, there's a member purpose in this thing. Spiritual growth edifies the body of Christ. Amen. Does your walk with God, or what walk with God you have, does it encourage others? Amen. It's what Brother Dunn testified about. He said, I had to depart from them. He said, there's some of them wanted what I had. Has your walk with God ever stimulated in someone else's life a desire to serve the Lord? Why do we see young people in this generation get out of the will of God? Make bad choices. Get impatient and take things in their own hands rather than doing what is right daily and persevering, staying faithful, keeping a dream in your heart and mind, but doing right. Amen. Why do they make bad choices? Is there example set before them of people that are patient, that preserve, or persevere, and that are faithful, and that walk with the Lord? I mean, I'm getting grandchildren by the groves. I mean, they're coming by the bunches. Amen. I mean, we got two just got here and one coming on the way, two already at the house. You listening to me? They're coming by the bunch. I have a desire for them to know the realness of God. I prayed for them, Lord, let yourself be known to them. I, as their grandfather, I can do a lot of things for them. Are you listening to me? I can. I can take them horseback riding. And kids enjoy that, don't they?
I can take them out on the Boda. Kubota. Ride them on the four-wheeler. They can go play out in the woods. I may get some cows. They can go get the egg. They can go to the chicken coop and get the eggs. That's fun to little kids. They're interested in that. Every day when Jamie would come to my mother and dad's house, every day she came, my daddy had to take her by the hand and walk her all the way through about three lots where he had his junkyard back there so she could see the chickens. I want to see the chickens. She wanted to see the chickens every day. You know what he done? He took her by the hand, and she would grab two rocks and put them in her mouth. And by the time she got back, she'd have them wallered down so smooth as marbles. And Daddy'd have to reach in her and get them out of her mouth. And she'd walk through those lots every day that she came there because he had to take her to see the chickens. You can do a lot of things for your children. You can buy them the best that money can buy for toys. Put them a swing set up. Make sure they have things they can have fun with. But I'm going to tell you something. If your grandchildren don't serve the Lord, and we have grandparents here this morning, I want to live my life in such a way that Trey McQueen will come to my house and say, my grandpa's got something. I won't. Amen. Amen. I want my grandchildren. I want them to come around me and their grandmother and say, "Hey, mama, granddaddy, and grandma has something that I desire." They got to walk with God. They know something about the Lord, and I thirst for it. I want my growth and my maturity level to promote that and encourage it in their life. What about you? All you're interested in is giving them something that the world can give them. I want to give them something the world doesn't have. Then verse 13, that's where I wanted to get, and I didn't get there. There is a measuring purpose in the purpose of maturity. Verse 13. Till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. There's a measuring purpose. In that measuring purpose, there's a relationship. Notice what he says. I'm in the verse now, and I preach out of the Bible, all right, so look at it. Verse 13, till we all come in the unity of the faith. Till we. You see, even though there are different levels of spiritual maturity represented in this church building today, God has one common goal for each one of us, and that is for you and I as the children of God, amen, in a relationship, associate ourselves with each other for this purpose. Where we are headed and who we are headed with is very important. Let me ask you this. Where are you headed? Where are you going? You worried about where you're going to eat this afternoon? Where are you headed with your walk with God? I seen somebody the other day. Watch what I say here. I don't want to offend anyone purposely. I do not want to do that. But I do want to say this morning. It concerns me the people you are drawn to and the people that you alienate yourself from. That bothers me, Brother Grubbs. When a man alienates himself from the godly, but when somebody's cold and indifferent, their heart's not right with God, they may be out in sin, and they pop up at the church or they show up at a gathering, it's like a magnet. Just all over them, all in their lap, all right up in their face, wanting to know what they're doing, where they been, want to slip out behind the building and listen what they got to say, listen to gossip or what kind of things they're going to tell them. But you get around them, a godly man, and it's almost like they're pushing away. They don't want to be around nobody that prays, nobody that loves God, nobody that loves the Word of God. I'm telling you, if you are drawn to someone like that, you got a relationship problem. There's
something wrong, and you cannot measure your maturity. And in that measuring, amen, grow in the grace of God. If you are going to constantly be influenced and manipulated by the ungodly.
I get around people and they just look, you know, almost scared. But you just feel so comfortable with carnal people. There's something wrong with you. Amen. I tell you what I could do. I could mark certain people in that back door right there, dismiss this service, and I could call names out of people in this church who's going to flock to them, not to be a witness, not to be friendly, not to be a godly example, but want to know what's going on. Texting back. The reason being is you have no growth process working in your life. You have a relationship problem. You see, is everybody understanding where I'm at in verse 13? Hey, man, I'm telling you, there's a relationship issue in verse 13. Till we all come. Paul includes himself in this group, and he says we must associate ourselves with each other, those that are wanting to grow, those that want to mature, those that want to excel, those that want to advance must band together to do the will of God together. There's agreement, the unity of the faith in that verse. This relationship involves an association till we all come. It involves agreement unto the unity of the faith. Our cause, our commitment, our character, our conviction is to agree. It is to be in one accord. Our relationship together is that we stand as a body representing the Lord Jesus Christ in this world. Amen. That's the maturing purpose or the measuring purpose. You boys got friends. Y'all hang around with each other. Some of you got some buddies. Tell me about them. Tell me about them, Josh. Who is it that you like to be around? John Taylor. Are they godly? Do they pray, Joseph? Do they talk about the Bible? Are they interested in John and the things of God, Tyler? Do they have any concept of the things of God, Rachel? I mean, are these people that walk with the Lord, Luke? Till we all come. It's about a group of people that have an agreement and an association with each other, amen, that are going to measure each other. Iron sharpeneth iron. I'm talking about growing in grace together, adding to our faith and building our faith on godly things. Or if somebody walks in that you know's left this church in sin, and that's who you want to play ball with. That's who you want to run with. That's who you want to go bowling with. I got issues with that, friend. I'm telling you, I got big issues with it. The fact of the matter is, birds of a feather flock together. And you may not have a full wingspan spread out right now, but you're headed that way.
Amen.
I'm going to tell you what, walking with God, young ladies, I'm talking about being that vessel that we awarded you of being. I mean, it involves a relationship with each other and others that have a common goal and a common ground of faith and godliness. Till we all come. Paul said, I want to tell you, I'm about you and you're about me. I'm in this together. I may not be there with you, but we're headed in the same direction. Our relationship is involved in the unity of a faith that we embrace. We believe the same God. We walk in the same path. We love the same character and conviction. Amen. There's a relationship. Not only is there a relationship in verse 13 when we consider how we measure this and an association, an agreement, but there's an arrival till we all come. I mean, we're going somewhere with this. You know, we got this attitude, and maybe this is what really disturbs our young people. It don't seem like they're going anywhere, just dangling around like a feather blown by the wind. You know, where are they going? Where does this thing end up? Where does this thing come? Where's the consummation of all this? Where's it all at? I'm telling you what, we're headed in a direction. We are conforming to the image of Jesus Christ and showing the character of God in this world. And yes, there is a destination, amen. I will someday stand in His presence and give Him the glory and the praise that's due unto His name. There is an arrival. We are headed. So Paul said we're going somewhere. We are headed somewhere. Aren't you glad? You know where the world's headed? They ain't headed nowhere but hell. They have no cause, no purpose. I'm talking about, listen to me now. You know what eternity involves? Eternity involves, amen, a lot of things. You read the Bible, it's overwhelming. We got 1,000 years to rule and reign with Christ on this earth. You know what the world has? Nothing but death, eternal death and judgment. We're going to reign for 1,000 years, and after that's over with, we're going to step into eternity and worship Christ and live with God and enjoy each other's fellowship. No more pain, no more suffering, no more heartache, no more trouble, no more death. No more sickness, no more sighing, no more crying. Just one blissful time of eternity to rejoice in the goodness of God and love God and worship God and enjoy those that's gone on, amen, to meet the Lord in that great reunion, glad morning day. The world goes straight to hell and burns forever. That's it. They don't do anything else but burn forever. Amen. That's why maturing is very important. There's a relationship. There's a reach unto a perfect man, he says in verse 13. There's a reach. Amen. There is a reach. Are you striving for anything at all in life? That's the biggest problem that this society has. Is people, especially masculine people, men, there is no thriving reach in their life. That's why women are in the place that they're in the workforce. That's why they're more trusted and depended upon. That's why they'll start college and finish. That's why most of them start out making more money than men do in the professional field. That's why, statistically speaking, most women in this new generation will advance beyond men because they have no reach. They're not reaching for anything except pleasure and fun. And the only way they do that is if their mom and daddy pays for it. No drive. But we're reaching for something spiritually. You believe you can be perfect, preacher? I most certainly do. I believe you can be perfect. Amen. I'm going to be like him one of these days. I didn't say when I could be perfect. I just said I could be perfect. Are you listening to me? I didn't say I could be perfect in this tabernacle of flesh. I'm going to be perfect. Amen. Perfection is in this book. There's the process of perfecting, the perfecting of the saints, and then there's the outcome and consummation of that perfection, and that is when we come before him and we reach that goal, we will be a perfect man in his presence. But prior to that point, during this process, we are reaching for something. What are you reaching for? You measure your spiritual maturity by the things that you are initiating and reaching for in your life. Reaching out. I remember, this is going to sound silly to some of you, but I just got right with the Lord. I'd been in church all my life. I just had got right with God. And I had seen people live certain ways, and I never understood why. I've seen people dress certain ways, and I never could figure out what the reasoning was with it. And I got right with God, Brother Wood. And all of a sudden, I'm reaching for something. I mean, man, I was going to church. What's a preacher going to preach against today that I need to quit doing? That's the attitude I had. I know that's not what it's all about. But I mean, I just said, I need to know what else I'm doing wrong. Amen. I mean, if he had preached against rotten teeth, I'd have went to the dentist. But it wasn't just that. I mean, I had to get established and not let my zeal overrun my knowledge. And there were things that I just didn't need to quit doing. There was things I needed to do.
Yes.
Amen. But I went to the house of God desiring for the man of God to feed me from his word and give me the things I needed. In other words, I was reaching for something. I wanted to get right with God. I wanted to draw near to the Lord. What are you reaching for this morning? And then lastly, there's the ruler. Until we all come in the unity of the faith, there's a relationship, our association, everything, our agreement, our arrival. We're going somewhere, we're headed somewhere. And of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, there's our reach. A knowledge of Him. Reaching a level of maturity where, as Paul said, constantly Paul said, if anybody in this Bible would have known the Lord, you thought it would have been Apostle Paul. But he says, that I may know Him, the power of His resurrection, the fellowship of His sufferings, being made conformable unto His death. There's a reach. There's a ruler. Unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Stature speaks of strength and size and stability. Fullness gives us the idea of, you know, what something may contain, right? How much it can hold. I mean, there's, you know, you can build something that may have the ability to hold the volume of a particular substance, but ain't strong enough to take the weight of it. I built a bulkhead one time out of plywood and tuba fours, Brother Kevin. And we were going to put, you know how you'd build a, like it's a bulkhead, whatever you call it. We're bringing a tile into it. And we didn't want the ground to wash out around it. So I took some tuba fours. And I hadn't been, you know, building any, I never built anything like that before. So I took some tuba fours, built me a frame, some plywood. And I kicked it off in a few spots. And it was, you know, it was about probably this wide, about that, you know, thick and about yay high. And then I called Brett County Ready Mix. Amen. I had it all fixed. You know, it was framed up to handle the contents, the volume of the substance. That's the way I should put that. But I was missing one element, and that was the engineering to take care of the weight of the substance. And concrete's right heavy. And right powerful. I mean, you can take concrete and throw a vibrator in it and just about blow out anything if you want to leave it in there long enough, because it'll just keep settling and keep settling, just keep pushing. The pressure of it's unbelievable. So here I got this thing, and it looks strong. I mean, it's stout enough. You could put about anything in it, I would have thought. That concrete got to bellowing out of that truck, pouring in that form. Them nails started creaking and cracking, and unbraces started bowing, and that plywood started, man, I'm telling you what, that little nice looking square, little gizmo I had built, it looked like somebody, amen, just about ready to give birth to triplets. Swelled out. It couldn't hold, it couldn't contain. Can you contain it? For you to be able to be filled with the knowledge of the Lord and have the strength and stability to represent the stature of Christ, you're going to have a vessel that has the room to contain the volume of the substance. But then it's going to have to be able to handle the pressure of the contents that you're putting there. Does that make sense? I'm going to tell you what, serving the Lord, totally dedicated and yielded to the Lord, you're going to get criticized and face a lot of pressure. I had someone say just this morning, they just don't like that church. And what they're saying is, it's not that they don't like you. They like you. They don't like me. And it's not that they don't like me, they just don't like what I say, mainly. And they associate what I say with who I am. That's impossible not to do that. I don't judge them for that, but they don't want to hear what I have to say. Most of the time, it's not really what I say. It's the way I say it, seemingly, that bothers folk the most. But I'm telling you this morning, you measure by the ruler of Christ who you are and what you are. Now, Paul said, follow me, but he said, you follow me as I follow Christ. And so this morning, it is very important that when you boys, you young men, start down the process of establishing this morning, I am sick. First of all, I promise you, and you may not listen to me right now, but I promise you, what the devil in the world has to give for you, it'll make you throw up when you wake up one morning and take a real close look at it. I'm telling you what, I've seen boys run around with girls, are you listening to me, and seen what they were given by God and then took a look. I've seen them here a few months ago walk in, and I thought to myself, it's been more than a few months ago, it's been a long time ago, walk in with a girl, and I thought to myself, what that God could have gave them, I'd have had to been, when I was in high school, I'd have had to been drunk. I'm talking about stone drunk to even ride down the road with that. And that's a fact. I speak as a man. In the flesh or in the spirit, I know not. I speak as a man. I'm just telling you, I'd have had to been drunk. That's a fact. I'm telling you what, you establish in your heart and life that you're going to walk with God. You're going to serve the Lord. If you constantly look around you for the ruler, you're going to get in trouble. You hear me? I don't care if it's your daddy, you're going to get in trouble. If it's your mama, you're going to get in trouble. If it's your preacher, you're going to get in trouble. What you need to do is use those people to edify and exhort you and build you and encourage you. But you ultimately use Jesus Christ, the Son of God, as the ruler to govern and guide and measure your maturity. Amen. You'll never go wrong when you follow Jesus. Jesus was full of wisdom. That's what the Bible says. He was full of the Word of God. Amen. When he confronted issues, he dealt with them biblically. He was full of wisdom, full of the Word of God. He was full of the will of God. He said, I delight to do thy will. He said, he set his face like a flint to go to Jerusalem. He said, Father, not my will, but thine be done. He was full of the will of God. He was full of the work of God. Amen. He said, I must do the work of him that sent me. I must be about the Father's business. Constantly he says that. I thought about this. I know it's late. I'm going to let Brother Chris probably preach tonight, so I'm going to unload everything on you right now. Amen. But listen to me. The leper that got healed in the book of Mark, if Jesus has not been consumed with the will of God and the work of God, he had never met that man to heal him. You know why? Because Peter came to him. I believe it was Peter came to him and said, Lord, Jesus has been all night praying. And he came to Peter, he came to the Lord and he said, Lord, all men seek for thee. That'd been pretty impressive, wasn't it? Everybody wants to talk to me. That's what he said. Lord, all men seek for thee. The Pharisees want to talk to you. The scribes, the Sadducees, they want to discuss things with you. They want to talk to you. They want to sit down and talk to you about these new doctrines, all this new way. They want to sit down and talk to you. These highfalutin religious people, they're interested in talking. I mean, the kings and the monarchs and the political power. All men seek for thee. You know what he said? You know what Jesus said just in that text? He never said one word about them men. He said, let us go to the next towns that I may preach there also. That's what he said. Read it. He said, let us go into the next towns that I may preach there also. He said, I don't have time to debate, fuss, fight, argue with people. Have a response. And by that, he touched a leper. Amen. Healed him. Made him whole. Praise God. Amen. The measure, the ruler, Jesus full of the Word of God. What are you filled with today? What are you full of? What is your stature spiritually? I'm not asking you how good a carpenter you are, how good a crane operator you are, how good a businessman you are, how good a truck driver you are, and the list could go on. How good of an employee you are, I'm not asking you what your skills are in this world. I'm asking you, full of this, full of that, consumed with this sport, consumed with this hobby. What fills your mind? Can you take Jesus and stand him beside of you and honestly evaluate your life and determine, am I growing? Am I drawing near? Am I reaching for anything? Am I going to serve the Lord?